is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Mark Viviano. My guest is a familiar voice to fans of the Baltimore Orioles. Jim Hunter was the lead play-by-play voice of the O's for 24 years on radio and television. He continues to work as a pregame analyst on sports radio in Baltimore. Jim is a devout Catholic for 28 years, an active member of St. Mark's Parish in Falston. Follow him on social media, and you can take in Jim's inspirational offerings related to the Catholic faith and its traditions. He's a longtime friend of mine, and I've had the honor of working Oriole broadcasts and attending Mass with him over the years. Jim, it is great to be with you to talk baseball and our faith.
Great to see you, Viv. And it dawned on me that we first met in February of 1997 when I was hired to replace John Miller with the Orioles. And you were doing the morning sports at 98 Rock and yes. WBAL Radio. And that's where we met, 1997 in February.
And I believe it was Dave Durian who gave you the name Jim Big Game Hunter.
And then Kirk McEwen called me Rockfish.
There you go. Well, Jim, so much to catch up on. And as most of our listeners are of the Catholic faith, your years in Major League Baseball as a Catholic, give me a sense for the culture of baseball and how you're able to continue and practice your faith within that arena.
Well, you had to plan it, Viv. I got to know, you know, for instance, in Boston, Friar Matt, who used to be at Curley, he's now in Buffalo at St. Francis High School. He grew up in Boston. In fact, his family has a sports bar near the harbor. And I sent him a text and I said, hey, where should I go to Mass here? And the Red Sox always play day games on Saturday, so I was able to go to the vigil on Saturday night straight from the ballpark. There's an organization called Catholic Athletes for Christ, and they set up Mass at almost every ballpark. And I would go quite a bit, especially if I was on television, because I would have to be there a little earlier. Instead of going to St. Mark's, I would go to Mass at the ballpark. And the Archbishop always would assign a chaplain to the Orioles. Back in the day, it was Monsignor Marty. And then it became Father Bauer, who I know you knew.
Absolutely.
When Father Bauer became ill and couldn't do it anymore, Father Matt took over. And I'm not sure who's there now because I haven't been around since 2019. It's amazing how many years it's been. But, you just have to plan it and figure out a way to make sure you don't miss Mass.
How hard is it, Jim? And I ask this because that arena is so competitive, not just for the players, but for the broadcasters. There's a lot of pressure and tension that can come about, especially if the team's not doing well. Like
those 14 consecutive losing seasons.
Like, and you're the voice of it, and you're maintaining positivity, and you do a great job. Is it hard sometimes, or does your faith become the place where you go to find your peace amidst it all?
Well, I always approached it, Viv, as you take each day as a new game. Because in baseball, as you well know, you have no idea what's going to happen. You could have a boring game up until the fifth inning and then an inside the park home run. So what I would always try to do, you know, I was very big on research. I would try to find notes on every player so I would have something to talk about. And if I used a quarter of that during the broadcast, that was a lot. But if you take each game as its own entity, regardless of how they're doing overall. And like I said, I mean, thank goodness they went wire to wire in 97, or they wouldn't blame me, because beginning in 1998, for 14 consecutive years, they had losing seasons and were not competitive until Dan Duquette and Buck came in and right. turned it around in 2012, making the wild card. But I always felt that you had to be positive because you owed it to your audience.
Right, right. And as you continued to practice your faith, these long road trips, were there others, either in the crew, on the team, front office, others that shared the faith that you guys could kind of bond over that too? Were those occasions available too?
Well, you know, Dan Duquette would always go to Mass, and Richie Bansells, the former trainer, longtime trainer, great guy, by the way. He would always go to Mass. And again, we would find the Catholic Athletes for Christ always would send out an email on Friday alerting you. So if you were going to be in San Diego, they would tell you where the Mass was and what time. And we would always show up. I remember in Boston, when I didn't go to Mass at the vigil on Saturday afternoon, they had it in the trainer's room, actually. Wow. So, you know, and again, every major league team, to my knowledge, there might be one that doesn't, but every major league team has a chaplain who would schedule the Mass. And so you know, you kind of go along with, Richie and Dan were there every Sunday because they had to be there at the ballpark. So it was convenient not to miss Mass and be already at work.
You know, you mentioned Father Bauer, the late Father Bauer, who was chaplain for the Orioles for a number of years. And he shared with me that of the number of players that would come into Baltimore when he was saying Mass, he always mentioned Mark Sweeney of the Kansas City Royals, yep. A devout, outspoken Catholic. Were there others that you had opportunity to meet, either for who played for the Orioles or other teams, that stand out to you?
Well, when Mike Socia was managing the Angels and he was in Baltimore, he never missed Mass. Yeah. He knew that it was going to be there, and he would show up. It was in, they held the Mass in the room where the manager does his pregame and postgame press conference, and you know that room very well for all the years that you covered the Orioles. But Mike Socia is one that stands out. There were a couple of Blue Jays players, I don't remember their names, that always would show up, or Tampa Bay Rays also would always show up on a Sunday, and you turn around and they'd be there in their pregame uniforms, you know.
Right.
So, it was nice to mingle with others that you normally don't mingle with. And Mike Socia was always very kind to Father Bauer.
Yeah, and think about this, Jim. We noted the competitive world of professional sports. Yet when you're in that Mass, no matter what other color or uniform mm-hmm. that tell me about that feeling, because there is a bond bigger than anything in our bond to Jesus Christ in the Catholic faith.
Well, that's very true. And when you're in the Mass at the ballpark, you're equals. You know, you're equals in your faith, and you're equals in why you're there. And that goes a long way to blending, if you will. Father Bauer always had me lecture, which is interesting. I guess the announcer boy. hey, take that voice up there and read the St. Paul from the Corinthians. So, but you're right. I mean, it was a bond. I really can't say that outside of the Mass it carried over.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right,
but because you still work for the Orioles and they still work for the other team. But it was nice to see visiting players and Mike Socia, the manager of the Angels, show up for Mass.
I say this somewhat jokingly, but our listeners may be curious. Did any umpires ever show up to Mass?
No, not ever. Not ever.
It may not have been on their schedule. We're not condemning or judging anyone. They may have been on a different schedule. That's as simple as that. I recall fondly, Jim, the number of years that I covered the Orioles in spring training. And in Sarasota, St. Martha's Church.
Yeah.
Beautiful St. Martha's Church. And you and I, Dawn D'Agostino, who was producer of the Mass and Broadcast when she was in town. Again, you know, of all the things I remember.
Father Fausto.
And those days, for me for sure, and I know for you because of the hard work you put in, those were stressful. For me, when I'm in spring training, it's not, you get up at 6 a.m. and you work till 11 p.m., but the opportunities to go to Mass were just such a peaceful release of all that pressure. Did you feel that at times?
Oh, absolutely. And what was great about St. Martha's was they had so many daily Masses that you could have a 1 o'clock game at the ballpark at Sarasota, and you know, it's a Wednesday afternoon, and you could go to 5 o'clock Mass at St. Martha's before you went to dinner. And I always found that to be very peaceful. In fact, when I was in spring training, I tried to go to Mass as often as I could, almost every day. It didn't always work out. You know, sometimes you had a road game and you'd have to drive 2 hours to Fort Myers, and it just wasn't feasible. But St. Martha's was wonderful. And, you know, it was great. And, you know, Richie Mansell's would also be there at St. Martha's because he knew the schedule. And, you know, the trainers are so busy, especially in spring training, because they have so many other players that are there that they have to take care of. I have fond memories. In fact, on my phone every once in a while, or my iPad, a photo will pop up, and it's Father Fausto with Bonnie.
That is awesome. Well, our guest today is longtime Orioles broadcaster Jim Hunter. We are talking about his Catholic faith and his family, his working career, and we're going to take a quick break. Then we'll continue the conversation. Stay with us.
Where can a Master of Theological Studies take you? At Loyola University, Maryland, our program prepares you for careers with nonprofits, religious ed, campus ministry, law, social work, and higher ed. Choose from 3 specialized tracks or our certificate in theology and ministry. Experience small classes, mentoring, networking opportunities, and more. Apply by August 1st for this fall. Learn more at loyola.edu/theology.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Catholic sisters from 8 religious congregations have taken their message of peace to the streets of Baltimore. As part of National Gun Awareness Month, 40 city buses are now emblazoned with the words, "Put down the guns, let peace begin with us." The initiative, funded by the participating congregations and led by the Sisters of Bon Secours, brings together a coalition of Catholic women religious determined to end gun violence. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. A new papacy is prompting a fresh look at Black Catholic history. Genealogical research has revealed that Pope Leo XIV, born in Chicago as Robert Francis Prevost, has maternal Creole roots connected to New Orleans' Black Catholic community. Jesuit Father Gregory Chisholm, Superior of the Jesuit community at Loyola University, Maryland in Baltimore, and a former pastor of Black Catholic parishes, said the discovery could influence support for 7 Black American sainthood causes now under consideration. Among them is Mother Mary Lang, founder of the Baltimore-based Oblate Sisters of Providence. For more on this and other stories, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm George Matisek.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Mark Viviano. Today we're catching up with Jim Hunter, a devout Catholic and active member of St. Mark's Parish in Falston. Most people know Jim as the longtime play-by-play voice of the Baltimore Orioles. Jim, you mentioned that in the masses at the ballpark, you'd be asked to read. That's something you still do at St. Mark's, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, I oversee the lectors. I don't do the schedule, thankfully, but I oversee the group. So when Father Fabiano, our pastor, we say a decade of the rosary 5 minutes before every Mass, mm-hmm. and I write that script. Father Fabiano really wants to enhance the going to church and going to Mass experience. Mm-hmm. And praying to our Blessed Mother is a good way to start. We did the Divine Mercy Chaplet during Lent and Easter through Divine Mercy Sunday, and now we're back to the Rosary Decade script.
Jim, you and I met in 1997, and since then, the influence, use, and pervasiveness of social media has risen to levels I don't think anybody anticipated. And you are someone who uses social media to evangelize, to share the faith. Tell me about that decision, because for many people of higher profile, they stay away from that, not you.
Well, I follow so many priests, and Cardinal Dolan puts a video out every day, and I always retweet that because they're always very well done and really sends a nice message to Catholics. And I've always felt that, you know, if you believe, which I do, and you agree with what you're retweeting or Xing now, I guess it is, you should go ahead and do that and not be afraid to do it. You know, I'm sure I've lost some followers over the years, but you know what? That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's okay. I mean, to put out there, and again, we are all baptized to evangelize. I mean, this very program that we are doing right now, yes, it reaches a predominant Catholic audience, and in some ways we preach to the choir, but you never know who can hear it. And you never know what influence anything you say or do just might open a door towards someone who is looking for an answer to why they're on this earth and how we should be connected in love with a creator. I mean, every opportunity matters, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And it's interesting that you word it that way, because someone who now works at WJZ, Grace Grill, who I guess, well, they didn't take your place because you were the sports director, but she's now the assistant. She sent me a private message on Twitter several years ago thanking me for proclaiming my faith on Twitter. And I thought that was fun. And I've never met her in person, but I still compete or communicate with her. And when I saw her tweet that she was coming to WJZ, she's from Maryland. Yep. So it's great for her to be able to come back. But, you know, things like that make you feel good.
She's a longtime friend and a devout Catholic, and I can't wait for you to meet her. In fact, I think our audience is going to hear from her, because I have in mind a podcast episode with her.
There you
as
go.
Well. Yeah. Awesome. Let's talk about your faith background, Jim, because you were educated in Catholic school, right? Mm-hmm. St. John Vianney High School in New Jersey. There you go. You're wearing the shirt. Seton Hall is where you went to university. Your mother is Italian, correct?
Right.
So
she would have been 100 last week, by the way.
Wow. God bless her. Tell me about faith in your family and just sort of the formation of your Catholic faith growing up.
Well, my father was Irish Catholic, so that's all you need to know, which meant that you always went to Mass, even when you're a kid and you don't really fully understand what's going on. And I was born in 1958, and the Vatican Council came when Pope John the 23rd was the Pope. And I remember them changing the altar where, when I was very young, the priest had his back to you.
Right.
And then they moved the altar out and the priest was looking at the congregation. So Mass was always important. I mean, I went to St. Philip's School for first grade in Clifton, New Jersey. And then we moved to Hazlitt right after first grade, where I grew up. I went to St. Benedict's School from second grade through eighth grade. Then I went to St. John Vianney for 4 years. I actually went to junior college in Monmouth County, New Jersey for 2 years.
You're a baseball player, right?
Well, I was, but unfortunately, the guy I was up against was first team All-State, and he was recruited.
Okay.
So the coach pulled me aside one day and said, you know, we know what your dad does for a living. He does that TV for the Yankee games. We can use an announcer.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I actually got into announcing.
That right there, Jim, what you just shared, that's God's providence. Right
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
That's what he wanted you to do.
And the ironic thing is the guy who was first team All-State never made it to the major leagues, and I did.
That is awesome. That is great. Since your years as an Oriole broadcaster, you've become a grandfather. Three grandchildren.
Three grandkids.
I mean, I am in the midst of the great appreciation and blessing that is fatherhood. Tell me about being a grandfather.
There's nothing better. When the kids are over, our granddaughter Stella, she likes to steal my recliner, and she makes a game of it.
Okay.
I'll say, you better not steal my chair, and she runs over and jumps on the chair so I can't sit down. It's just wonderful. I mean, to have these young people that you know are going to grow into young adults. I mean, JD's the oldest, he's 5, and Stella's 3, and Jude is 2. Jude Isaac, by the way.
Oh, wow.
How about that? That's right out of the Bible.
Beautiful.
But there's nothing better. And you know, the funny thing about it is they get to go home with their parents.
Well, there you go. Now, what do your grandparents, the oldest of your grandchildren is 5. Do they know about, first of all, do they call you grandpa, papa?
What are they call me grandpa.
Do they know about grandpa's history as a broadcaster, or is that still too young for them?
I think it's still too young, especially since I haven't done an Orioles broadcast since the last weekend of September of 2019. We were in Boston, and I'll never forget that because it was, I didn't know it was going to be the last time. I mean, they renewed my contract for 2020, but then they didn't let me do anything. And that was the year of COVID, so it was the truncated season. And there was no traveling of the announcers. The radio and TV broadcasts were all done from Camden Yards. They had monitors. So I'm not sure, you know, JD is 5, so he was born, I think, in 2019, in August of 2019. Every once in a while when I'm on Baltimore Baseball Tonight on 105.7 The Fan, my son Jimmy will put the radio on and tell JD, that's Grandpa talking.
Well, there's also the beauty of archive video, audio, that when JD is grown up and playing baseball, you could just play, hey, look and listen to Grandpa in the heyday.
Well, you know, every once in a while, I'll see a highlight on X of an Oriole game, and I'll listen to it because quite often I'm on the Masson telecast, and I always retweet that because I'm proud of that.
Oh, and you should. Now, you have such a distinct voice, and again, Baltimore baseball fans for a quarter of a century have heard it, and you're still doing the baseball pregame analysis. You're the kind of guy who, whether at Mass, at the hardware store, someone's going to hear that voice. How often do you get that?
All the time. our favorite restaurant here in Falston, Acapella, Bonnie and I go. When we're by ourselves, we like to sit at the bar and mingle with people. It's a very friendly place. And just last week, I was there to get takeout food. So I was by myself. And I was talking to the woman next to me. And her husband on the other side said, that's Jim Hunter. You know, because he recognized my voice. It happens all the time.
A recognizable voice. Are you... You mentioned this, and I'll reiterate this. I've never worked with anyone more prepared. Your level of research, interest, and you always said to me, and I always agreed with you, be curious.
Yeah.
When you're watching sports, there's so much to question and be curious about. That hasn't left you, even as a pregame analyst.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, and because I'm in the other role now, I'm not the host as I was my whole career. I'm the analyst, and I share the show with Ryan Ripken, Calson, and with Mike Bordick. So I was on Tuesday, and I'll be on again on Friday. And I think Ryan was on last night. They have a day game today, so they don't do a show when it's a day game. So I have to. I have three specific segments that I have to prepare for: a player spotlight, the analyst corner, and inside the numbers. And when they're playing as poorly as they are now, it's very difficult to come up with different topics. But you know, it's your job, and you owe it to the audience to come up with something different. And it used to be in the prior years, we would be assigned a week of shows. And the new program director there decided he was going to split it up where every three games, one of us is on. And I guess there's something to that. And in the prep work, it also makes it easier on us because if they're playing as poorly as they are right now, you don't have to come up with ideas every single day when they're not there.
Well, let's hope by the time some of you are hearing this podcast and this interview, the Orioles have turned things around. But rest assured, in the meantime, you can continue to hear Jim Hunter, his pregame analysis. And you know that he's prepared, and you know that he is a devout and practicing Catholic. And, hey, stop by St. Mark's in Fallston. You might hear him read. Jim, this has been a real delight.
It's great to see you, Viv. We've been friends for so long, and I respect that you retired and invited me to your retirement party, by the way. That you're so active. I read your stuff in Catholic Review all the time. So it's great to see you, and I'm glad you're having fun with us.
God bless you, your wife Bonnie, and your family, Jim. Thank you so much. And for Catholic Review Radio, I'm Mark Viviano. Thank you for tuning in.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.